Shout out Jalen Reger and Jeff Gladney. Jeff Gladney's tribute song is at the very end this week.
Yeah, you're not going to catch me saying Fly Eagles Fly.
But shout out Jalen Reger last night getting drafted by the Eagles. Thus, our opening song this week. Billy Wessels, Clint Foster, joined by very special guest, Colin Jones.
Rose Bowl champion. Colin Jones. Fellow Rose Bowl championship ring holder, Colin Jones.
Colin Jones, how you feeling today?
I'm feeling great. How y'all doing today?
Doing good. Good, man. Doing good. Did you watch the draft last night?
I did. It was nice to get to catch something live on TV, especially football related, and even better to see two Horned Frogs going in the first round.
What did you see? What did you expect from those guys? Were you expecting Reger to go that early? It shocked me a little bit.
You know, I've just read what everybody else has been reading, so I knew that there were so many talented guys at the receiver position in the draft this year, and just looking at some of the stuff they said about him post-draft, just his ability to vertically separate kind of stood out, and I'm just really happy for him. It's such an amazing thing to get drafted at all, but to go in the first round is something that not very many people get to experience.
Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, what's really awesome is this is the first time since 1939. 1939, we've had more than one TCU player drafted in the first round. Huge first round for Texas high school football players in general, but especially for TCU. And I'm just going to be completely ignorant of any other context associated with that and just be happy about that.
how much do you get to watch TCU during your seasons?
You know, it's tough because we typically have meetings on Saturday night. So, you know, if it's an earlier game, I'm on Eastern time. Or if I'm playing on the road, you know, it just depends. But I typically watch them every week as much as I can, unless they have a primetime game, then I'll miss maybe the second and third quarter, catch the end. But I love watching them, and it's kind of exciting because playing with so many different guys from different places, it's just fun to have friendly banter. I still owe Kurt Coleman a dinner from the Ohio State game from a few years ago. But, no, it's a lot of fun, you know, just having fun with that and seeing where you came from and the guys going through similar things that you can relate to. And it's just exciting, you know, when the draft rolls around and those guys get rewarded for all their hard work.
Well, Colin, what was your experience like, though, when you got that call from the 49ers back in, let's see, it would have been 2011. What was that like for you?
It was crazy, man. They actually called my dad because my service didn't work. I guess they couldn't get through. My phone wouldn't ring. And so my dad was like, hey, I think somebody wants to talk to you. And so it was Harbaugh. And I was like, hey, man. And he just kind of asked me if I wanted to come out there and be a 49er. And the next thing you know, your name's rolling across the ESPN and your life has changed.
Were you expecting a call like that, or were you kind of on the bubble there? Maybe get drafted, maybe not?
I was expecting something in there. I had pretty good conversations with them in Atlanta and a couple other teams, and I had a feeling late. I didn't get my hopes up too much early on until, you know, fifth, sixth round. I had a feeling that something might work out there just because I had, luckily enough, had a really good pro day. But, yeah, it was great, man, and it's just been a blessing to be able to play for so long with what my role has been over the years.
You were with the Niners for just a year, right? Then you spent the last eight with Carolina?
Yeah, on cut day, man, I get called into Trent Baalke's office, and he's like, hey, good news and bad news. You're not getting cut, but you're no longer a 49er, and you traded me. So that was quite the flight from San Francisco to Charlotte.
And, I was fixing to say.
It's crazy, man. Marty Herney was the GM of the Panthers at the time, and then he left. He got fired that year, and then he came back a couple of years ago. So he's the one that cut me the other day. So he's had a hand in all of everything. But he blessed me so much with opportunity in Carolina for so long. And had he not have made that trade, it would not have turned out so well for me. I don't think it's my career.
Yeah, I don't know if many Frog fans had caught the news or not, but you were recently released by the Panthers. We're blaming Matt Rhule.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Baylor coach coming over there. but how tough are those conversations and kind of what's next for you these next couple months?
You know, I'm about to have another baby coming up in the next week or so, and then just been focusing on family and working out and staying in shape and just trying to figure out where that road's going to lead, whether it be football or some of my other interests in the outdoor industry. But yeah, just kind of waiting and seeing right now how this whole thing's going to shake out.
Well, Colin, we've been doing a list of all of the greatest athletes to wear every single jersey number for TCU, and today we got 21 through 30, and spoiler alert to our listeners, you are the greatest 28 we have of all time on our list. How do you feel about that?
Awesome, man. I really appreciate y'all giving me that shout-out. I know the jersey that I, when I got 28, Jeremy Modkins had just gotten done wearing it, and he was an incredible player and always had him in my mind. You know, I've worked with him post TCU and some other things. So it's just really an honor to be able to have gone to TCU, had such team success there. And yeah, appreciate that shout out, man.
What was your recruitment like? How did you get to TCU?
Coach Patterson told me I could play running back. So, no, we joke about it now, but that's been the case for a lot of guys.
Yeah. I think Jerry Hughes is the most famous of those stories.
Yeah, I wanted to play. I thought I was a running back, and I had some success in high school, and luckily.
Shout out Bridgeport Bulls.
Oh, yeah. The Bulls, man. I'm not sure that I would be here today talking to you had I have continued down the running back path.
Well, that's kind of the impact Patterson has. How was it like playing for him versus a guy like Ron Rivera you spent most of your career with?
You know, it was crazy. It's they're polar opposites. Both really great coaches, but completely different styles. And going from Patterson to Harbaugh was really similar. And so I didn't really know any different until I got to Carolina. But Rivera's very, very laid back. And, you know, he played for so long in the NFL. And he had a veteran team for most of my tenure there. So he was able to let the guys kind of control themselves. But it's just every experience has been a little different. Patterson taught me so much. I feel like that part of that time in your life is just such a, you know, just a unique time where you're trying to figure out life and school and football and relationships and, you know, and I think Patterson is so good at being able to manage such a large group of people and teach them more about life than just football. And that's why you see so many guys have so much success post-TCU football.
Yeah, I ran into Halapula Vadi Vaitai about a year ago, and the main thing I wanted to ask him was how was practice easier or harder in the NFL compared to college? And he said it was way harder at TCU.
Yeah, man, it was. I went from training camps in Fort Worth, Texas, to San Francisco, and we were in Santa Clara there, and it was like, whoa, man, this is nice.
It's a whole new world.
Like, I'm not sweating out my entire body weight all of a sudden.
Yeah, Patterson set the tone for me.
What's been the top moment of your NFL career thus far?
I would say team standpoint being making it to the Super Bowl in the 15 season, but probably being a two-time team captain. This year, 18 and 19, that was probably my greatest accomplishment just from what I value as a person and know, you know, what all goes into that. So that would probably be my highlight in at least professional football. And then college, obviously the Rose Bowl win, I think you realize how hard that was to get done and what a talented team we had. Look at the guys still playing in the NFL today from that team. And it's just, you know, that's crazy from where TCU was then, or when I first got there, even how far it's come, and then now pumping out two first round guys, and it's crazy the growth that TCU's seen.
Yeah, man, it's like the Rose Bowl has almost become a cliche reference, I feel like, for TCU fans, but it really was so friggin' special. And just every single thing about that day and that night, and, I mean, they were playing the Rose Bowl on TV last night. Yeah. You know, like, I was like, oh, man, I kind of want to watch that again for the second time in this past month.
Yeah, man, it was that's a cool experience. Not very many people get to do that. And just being from a smaller school like we were then to the stepping stone that was for the university now, it's incredible.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Colin, didn't you propose on the field after that game?
I actually proposed. Coach Glasgow told me to get it done, so I proposed like that a couple of days before the game.
So nice. So that's because I actually proposed on that trip as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Really? I thought you did it after the game, but that's crazy.
No, I was stressing about it. I was like, man, I got to get this thing done.
That's funny.
Luckily, she said yes.
Yeah, it's turned out okay, I feel like, for you.
Yeah, I lucked out on that deal.
Outkicked your coverage, ironically, with your special teams career.
I did. Yeah, I don't know what she's thinking.
Speaking of the Rose Bowl, though, isn't it weird that you played with Cam Newton for so long, and he's kind of the reason y'all were in the Rose Bowl, not the national title game? Has that ever come up?
I was bitter against him for a long time, and all my buddies were too. I was like, dude, look, he's my quarterback now. I gotta like the guy. But Cam, he's a unique talent. He's such a talented guy, and when you get around him, he's fun to be around, and he has a unique leadership, but it's very powerful. And I can't wait to see where he ends up, because if he's healthy, his ceiling is so high.
Mm-hmm.
And talk for another day. But
well, I'm surprised he's still out there too. Like, it doesn't make any sense. But what was it like playing in that Super Bowl with him? I know he caught a lot of grief for the game, but beside that, but like the way, the whole experience for you.
You know, that Super Bowl is such a unique experience, because the whole week you're just slammed with media stuff and just practicing in a new place and just a lot of different commitments, and then you get to the game and it's a unique game because they're not normal fans. It's a lot of corporate guys, and it's not like the loudest game you've ever been to, and we're a small market team, so there's like 30 Panther fans there. And it's got a unique feel to it. And then you wake up and it's halftime and you're like, wow. And we went 15-1 that year and absolutely destroyed everybody. I mean, I think we beat Arizona in the NFC Championship game by like 40 or something. It was ridiculous. So it was kind of a shell shock when it's halftime, we're losing, and then we're like, uh-oh. You know, it just didn't happen. And then it's gone. And it's such a rare thing to get there for guys. There's a lot of guys that don't even ever play in a playoff game, and I've been fortunate enough to play in two NFC Championship games and playoffs. I mean, 5 of my 9 years or something. And so, I don't know. You look back on it, and it's disappointing, but still such a fun thing to get to do, because so few people get to experience that.
Yeah, a lot more than my Cowboys have been able to do in the last 25 years.
You know, I'm a Cowboy fan at heart, as long as we're not playing them on Sunday. What do you think about that first-round pick?
Man, I'm of two minds. Because on one hand, I cannot believe CeeDee Lamb fell that far. So, you know, and if he really was the sixth player on the Cowboys draft board, I mean, you have to take him. Offense should be nuts. But now my whole thought is, well, we better score 100 points a game, because we're going to give up 99. Like, we have no defense.
Yeah, I mean, I bet they get a couple of guys today, and I don't think you can have too much of a – I mean, they're going to be potent on offense, and that's going to bode well for their success, in my opinion. I think there's still a lot of veteran guys available. You know, not as many of your household names, but there are still some household names that haven't been signed yet.
A certain safety, you know, from the Panthers.
Yeah. I mean, I would not mind that the least bit.
Yeah, that'd be nice, man. No state income tax in Texas.
Yeah, come on home now.
Speaking of the safeties, what do you see on the field with TCU right now, with Trevon Merrick poised to be one of the best in TCU's history, and Ardarius having a crazy freshman year?
Yeah, you know, they look solid. across the board, just the talent in that DB room has just increased so much since I've gotten there. And I feel like there's the depth is such a big thing. You know, you got your star-studded lineup, but even then, the guys that come in to play are like, wow, that guy can make an impact. And so I think that is key to their success in the Big 12, just because you have to be able to cover in that, you saw that Tech linebacker last night, just guy can run and cover, and that's what you're seeing go transfer to the NFL. So I think they're set up nicely, man. I'm anxious to watch them this next year, depending on how the COVID crisis turns college football upside down, but hopefully we start sooner than later.
Colin, what do you think about the Jerry Kill hire and bringing Doug Meacham back? That's been very divisive on Twitter as to whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. We both think it's a really good thing, but I want to know what you think.
From what I've heard, it's a very good thing, because I think that it gives some balance and firepower to the offense, just in friendly banter and just, you know, with Coach P being a defensive guy. I think it's going to be, with talking about Kill, I think it's going to be very, very good for the team in general. And I'm all for it. You know, I know we were a little disappointed last year in the success, but I think we're only a few plays away from having a different conversation. You know, a lot of those games could have gone either way, and they just went sideways.
Oh, 100%.
You know, you talk about those, you know, everybody can pick on a certain player or coach or whatever, or side of the ball, but, I mean, you have a few more wins and we don't even have these conversations. So I think it's good. I think having that older veteran presence on the coaching staff is going to be a really, really good addition.
And another year for Max Duggan, too, the most important position on the field.
Yeah. That's tough, man. When you got a young guy and you're asking him to lead a football team, there's so much that goes into it. I've heard nothing but good things from the coaches and some of the players about his leadership abilities and him as a football player as well. So I'm anxious to see him. I think he'll take a big step this year, because I know he has the tools and the ability.
I think we all agree the same way. All right, Colin, how are y'all handling this? You mentioned the COVID thing a second ago. How are y'all handling the quarantine life? I know you've got the baby due in a couple of days. Everything going okay there?
Yeah, we're good, man. We luckily I have a weight room in my house, so I've been doing a lot of lifting and running and dad life, trying to be a good family man, working on my patients. It's good all the way around. We're excited to have the new baby coming on, and my mother-in-law being here is helping out a lot.
I bet.
Do you have a name yet?
And we don't. My first son's Wyatt. That's my middle name, so we don't know. I think I might let my wife choose this one. I'm the best. Another boy, though.
Hey, Colin, another thing we've had going on right now is we've been doing a bracket of the greatest TCU uniforms of all time. Which has yielded some interesting results so far. We're in the Sweet 16, or fixing to be in the Sweet 16. What were some of your favorite uniforms that either you wore or you've seen the Frogs in?
Man, I'm biased, but I love that Rose Bowl, like the helmet.
That's what I was waiting for you to say.
Yeah, got it here. I'm looking at it right now.
You're wearing it right now?
Yeah, wearing it, sitting in that dark room. that's got to be my favorite, but I just love the classic, just a little throwback, and then I always like black. I think it looks good.
Black has been very popular in this bracket.
Very popular.
How do you feel about the flying tee?
I like it.
Tepid response.
I'll put it in my top 10.
I think he's going to like everything TCU. I mean, it's just, you have to like it.
You got to like it on some level.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right, Colin, well, that's everything I wanted to ask you. I really appreciate your time today and coming on and talking about your experience and everything.
Absolutely. I appreciate the call. Y'all have a good rest of the day.
All right, you too.
Yeah, you too, man. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a good one.
Thank you. Colin Jones, the what a great guy. Like, first and foremost, just a great dude.
Oh yeah, really solid dude. Loves the Lord. I mean, if that's something that matters to you, it matters to me. Really great, and an outstanding player, a great safety on that Rose Bowl team and the 2009 team before that. I think every bit deserving of best 28 of all time.
Oh, easily. And I was reading his bio on Gophrogs earlier preparing for this. Wasn't his career high in tackles, wasn't in the Rose Bowl game?
I believe so, yeah.
Like that was his best game. So we picked the biggest moment to stand up and shine.
Yeah, well, shoot. I mean, John Clay and them were busting through the front seven pretty easily. We needed Colin to come in.
He had to step up, and, especially in that second half. He needed to make some plays. But wasn't that – I wanted to ask him. I didn't want to be wrong. The Super Bowl that year that he played in, wasn't that also in San Francisco? Wasn't that in Santa Clara?
Oh, shoot. I think it might have been. I couldn't tell you.
Crazy. It's a bunch of crazy connections between him and California, the Rose Bowl, Super Bowl, being drafted by the Niners. Crazy. I mean, I hope he picks up somewhere. I know he's...
Man, now that we start talking about it, bring him to the Cowboys. We need some safety help, man.
I'm saying, why not?
We need it. Why not?
So that'd be fun. So keep an eye on what he's doing. Again, congrats to Colin and the Jones family on the upcoming baby.
Keeping up with the Joneses.
Yep. Let's see if he can get on Jerry's yacht next. It'd be big for you guys.
Yeah.
All right, so our reactions of the draft. What did you think? Rager goes 21. We did our predictions last week. I thought that was early.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot about the draft that didn't go as I expected, which, I mean, of course, like, it's always the draft. I mean, you know, the Giants took that complete head-scratching pick. They took, like, the fourth best tackle at fourth overall.
That's what they always do, though. That's what they always go to. Them and the Raiders always take guys early.
Yeah, and the Raiders taking Henry Ruggs. I mean, not like Henry Ruggs is a bad receiver, but I was like, you're going to take him over Jerry Judy
and CeeDee Lamb.
You know, yeah, yeah.
And then, even then, they took the corner at 19, so I nailed the position they took.
Mm-hmm,
if they had just taken the right corner with Gladney.
You know what, though? I would much rather see Gladney in Minnesota than Las Vegas. And saying Las Vegas even sounds weird, but I think that Minnesota's a great... I think that of these guys landed at great fits.
Yep.
And I tweeted shortly before that Eagles pick, because Rager just... he so fits into the mold of that Philadelphia offense, and he is going to excel as a slot there. And I was like, oh man, please, like, let him fall to the next pick. Don't let him go to the Eagles. I'm not rooting for the Eagles. Like, it'll be cool for him, you know, and I'm happy for him, but I'm like, oh no, I don't want to see him twice a year, like, against our defense.
Right. Somebody was comparing him to Deshaun Jackson a lot.
Yes. Oh, that's a great comp.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
It's an excellent comp.
It was mine from a while ago.
Yeah, well, because, I mean,
I got a couple of texts reminding me of that comp last night.
Yes. Well, he's got, you know, A1 speed, yep, top level speed. If they're smart, they're going to put him at return man, just like Deshaun Jackson, yep, has played for years and years. But yeah, and he's going to excel out of that slot position. Really, really athletic. I mean, we know what Jalen Rager, what kind of a player he is. We have just got to do something about these NFC East teams picking TCU wide receivers. I'm not okay with it. We need to put a stop to it.
Next year when the Giants take, I'm trying to think, who's it?
Tay Barber.
Yeah.
or come on, man.
Or T. Hunt. I'd be okay with that.
But I mean, I'd be very proud.
If you're an Eagles fan, go back and watch the 2017 Alamo Bowl and watch Rager go nuts and watch J.J. Arcega-Whiteside go nuts.
No, listen, if you're an Eagles fan, go watch the 2018 Baylor game or the Oklahoma State game.
Yeah.
I mean, and then it's just, let's watch this guy go Michael Jordan, put the team on his back, and just completely win a football game himself.
Yeah, I was trying to lump in Arcega-Whiteside. Because I do love Arcega-Whiteside. I think he's crazy talented. But yeah, it's great for Rager. I was very shocked and very happy he went. Gladney 31, again, I thought a little bit late, but I felt like he'd be a first rounder for sure.
Yeah, well, and you know, I really thought Ross Blacklock could sneak into the first round too.
He'll be one of the first picks off the board today.
But a little later on Gladney, a little earlier on Rager, but still both really great fits. And at the end of the day, if a team is getting someone who's higher on their draft board who's going to be a good fit for them, I mean, perfect. That's good on them.
Gladney, the Vikings. I can't wait to see in the playoffs this year, Drew Brees throwing a pass in the fourth quarter with a minute left and Gladney getting away with the PI and picking it off to break the Saints' hearts again. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. No question about it. Yeah, surprise, Blacklock's still there. He'll probably go in these first couple picks, like we said. Maybe we see Niang tonight, too, in the third round?
I think so. I think so. And he's going to be a steal for someone in the third round. Yep. Because, you know, and I don't know if it's just people are trepidatious about the injury or they just didn't get to see enough tape of him, or since he didn't get to go to the combine. But, I mean... it's not like he's a diamond in the rough. I mean, his production speaks for itself. He didn't allow a single sack in his playing time at TCU. Yeah. I mean, someone's going to get a steal.
No, he's a monster. Someone's going to take him probably in the third round tonight and get a great deal there. So we'll see how this goes. I'm excited. I've already got the NFL Network on my TV, so it's interesting, ready to go. How this is gonna go down?
Yeah, see if Roger Goodell's cue card reading skills improve at all tonight.
Well, it'll still be him because normally in the second round they go to like a legend for each team to do the pick. So,
but that seems like a lot to coordinate with this.
It seems like a big ordeal. But we'll see how it goes. I thought last night went very smooth. Honestly,
it's shockingly smooth.
Yeah,
and I love it. Went fast.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't have to wait super long for the picks.
I saw somebody tweet, and I'm very mad I didn't come up with it. I can't believe it took 4 hours to get 32 picks, and I would have just rather watched a Jameis Winston game. it would have been the same effect. But it was a very good experience, I think, last night watching it. It went much smoother than I thought.
And we're so starved for sports. I mean, to watch a live sporting event, I mean, it was, it was just like nectar from the gods. It was a breath of fresh air.
Yeah. Well, as people pointed out on Twitter, the WNBA draft was a week ago, so you could have watched that if you wanted to.
Yes.
let's see. And then, of course, I'm just saying. Wow. That's what Twitter said. That's what people said.
Were you watching the WNBA draft?
No, I know Sabrina Ionescu. That's it.
Okay, yeah. That's so don't try and guilt our listeners.
No, I'm not trying to. What is it? What do the kids call it? Simp nowadays?
I need to go on to Urban Dictionary because I haven't yet understood what simp means. I don't know.
Back in my day, it was called being a gentleman.
Yeah.
But now apparently it's a negative. Who knows anymore? But
chivalry ain't dead where I'm from.
It's getting there. But then we'll see Iwagwu and then hopefully the running back Shewo and Darius tomorrow.
Yeah, probably Saturday, guys.
So that's your draft preview, review. Colin was great. All right, so now on to the numbers. Spoiler, we already know 28.
Yes.
Was Colin Jones. He beat out, like he mentioned Jeremy Mockins.
Yeah, he was definitely one of my honorable mentions.
Yeah. So, Stephen Crichton.
Yeah, Stephon Crichton, he was a pitcher. Yeah, yep. Dick O'Neill. Dick O'Neill was a very highly regarded basketball player for the Frogs back in the 50s. Mm-hmm. Held a lot of records for a lot of years. He was a really good center. Another one we had was Curtis Modkins, actually, another football player. But yeah, Collins, he's your guy at 28.
He's the guy, no doubt. Not just because he's on the show either. He is the guy.
Yes.
He earned it.
Yeah, go back and watch some of his tape and his work ethic. And I mean, he was just a bulldog out on the field. Very smart, heady player. Could read an offense very well, which is what you want out of a Coach P safety. So he earned that spot. So we'll rewind now back to 21.
We'll skip 28 in a minute.
So. Yes. And there's some good 21s.
There are some really good 21s.
Some really good. I mean, Kevin Samuel, his career's not quite over yet, but I think he's in the honorable mention conversation. He's already had a very productive career as a post for us, and I think he's going to continue to improve. You got Charles King is another 21.
Kevin Samuel?
Yeah, Kevin Samuel. He's 21. Is that what you're confused about?
Yeah, but like he's not playing anymore.
What do you mean he's not
playing? Am I wrong? Oh, he is still playing.
Yeah.
I got him confused with Kevar Shepherd. That was my
No.
My bad. I was thinking the K.
I was like, did something happen?
The K and the S totally threw me off there. Okay. Oof.
He's not playing.
I was like, Kevar Shepherd. All right, my bad. Kevin Samuel. Oof, my bad.
Okay.
Total brain fart.
Yeah. some old-timers that deserve honorable mention. Pappy Pruitt, Clayton Jerome. But when again, as it often does, it's come down to two guys for me. Yeah. Bo Schobel was an exceptional defensive end. You know, him and his brother Aaron Schobel were really the catalyst that launched this whole avalanche of outstanding pass rushers in a Coach P defense. He was that dude on those Conference USA teams in the early 2000s. Really, really solid. But I ultimately have to give it to Kyle Hicks.
Yeah.
Hicks for six. Because that dude, he, you know, originally a Texas pledge, chooses us at the last minute, comes in, and honestly, could have been even more productive than he was. If we all remember, run the damn ball. Like, you know, now we're like, the whole trendy thing is, you know, establishing the run is evil, never run. But, oh my gosh, if we just would have given Kyle the ball more, like, what could have happened?
It's funny how fast things turn around.
Yes.
You know, but maybe that would have worked better. But Kyle Hicks is fun. Also a great kid, too. Another great guy. I see him at Chris Gardner shows every once in a while. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he's a good
kid. Well, he's
kid,
an Arlington guy. They both went to Martin.
Yeah. Oh, they're buddies.
Yeah.
They're for sure buddies.
Yeah, Kyle is. I actually met Kyle because he came in the year after I graduated, but me and Andre Dean were in broadcast journalism together, and we partnered for a story on Kyle Hicks, like when he was a recruit. So yeah. I met him. Me and Andre went to his apartment, actually, and like had an interview with him and like played some 2K or whatever was. But yeah, so that's how I met Kyle Hicks. Moving on to 22. So another divisive one, actually.
You think so?
Well, you gave me a little pushback on it, but I to me it was an obvious choice.
Well, I just never heard of this guy.
Okay,
but also there's someone you left off that I'm gonna give you a
okay. Who have I missed before I start reading my
someone wears 22 every year for TCU. Jim Schlossnagel.
Oh, that's so true.
So I don't know if that technically counts. I'm not going to count it because these are going through players.
We've got someone who's a baseball coach coming and up later player.
On.
Yeah,
come up later on. So that,
he definitely did. Oh man, yeah.
And see, I get why he's not, but at the same time, like, yeah, he's wearing 22.
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
But
he deserves to be at least honorable mention.
Yeah.
If not, wow, yeah.
Yeah, I'm writing him in as honorable mention because this is mostly for players.
Yeah, it's more for athletes first. But yeah, he definitely needs some mention. One of my honorable mentions too, I.B. Hale, who was a guard. He was actually one of those three players selected in that 1939 draft in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
So that he deserves some honorable mention there. Jim Schaffner, who was a cornerback for TCU, I believe in the 50s or 60s, he had a pick six against Ohio State. TCU beat an Ohio State team that was eventual national champions in that season. And I think Jim Schaffner went on to be a coach for a couple years in the 70s. James Penny is another one. Aaron Green is honorable mention for me because Daryl Lester, I think, has to be your best 22 of all time. He was a center for the national championship team in 1935, a two-time consensus All-American. He's the only one, two-time consensus All-American for the Horned Frogs, a three-sport starter, football, basketball, and baseball, and a national champion. I think Daryl Lester has to be the one, number 22.
Yeah, with that resume, again, someone that people aren't familiar with, but you have that kind of resume, you have to be up there.
Yeah.
As great as exciting as Aaron Green was, and as one of the biggest moments in TCU football history.
Oh, yeah.
But that established career from even it was way back in the day, it makes you the guy.
It doesn't take anything away from Aaron Green. I mean, Aaron Green, in fact, me and one of my buddies were watching the 2015 Kansas State game again the other day, and that 80-whatever-yard touchdown that he had to start the game, I was just like, man, like, you forget. I mean, you know Aaron Green was good, but you forget just how agile he was.
Yeah. Oh,
he could stop and start on a dime. He'd see that hole, and he's gone, you know? I mean,
how did Nebraska let him go? Like, he was coming back to home, but it was crazy that he got away from Nebraska.
Oh, well, speaking of Nebraska, I mean,
they got roasted last
night. And rightfully murdered, so. Yes. I mean, I had no idea Joe Burrow tried to go there twice.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, nah.
I did know that. I wasn't ready for ESPN to destroy him. But yes.
Oh, man.
And I got another question for you at 23.
Okay.
I think it's between who you have as the winner versus this guy. So we'll list all the other honorable mentions.
Okay, so Marvin Godbolt is an honorable mention. He was a really strong safety for the Frogs in the early 2000s, like 2004, 2003. Mike Luttrell, who was a running back for the Frogs. Tyler Luttrell's dad back in the 70s was a very quality player. Alex Young, the pitcher for the Frogs, who's still playing in the majors. Aaron Brown. We got a lot of running back flair going on here.
Here's another one.
Aaron Brown, BJ Catalan. But ultimately for me, I mean, should I go ahead and say who my 23 is, or are you going to rebuttal
first?
Well,
say yours, then I'll surprise you with this name.
Okay.
You're not ready for it.
Okay, so my 23, I'm not looking at your laptop.
Okay, good.
My 23 of best 23 of all time is Jim Swink, the Rusk Rambler. He was TCU star running back in the mid-50s. He was on that Cotton Bowl championship team that beat Jim Brown Syracuse team in 57. He's actually the reason that Texas says hook 'em.
Yeah.
Because Texas started doing the hex rallies because Jim Swink and TCU just kicked their butts every year. And they were like, we got to hook him. Longhorns, that's what we got to do. We got to hook him around the neck. Do whatever we got to do to take him down. So that's where hook 'em came from.
It's like how Gingham came from playing the Frogs.
Exactly, yeah.
So we're living free rent. We're living in UTNM State.
Oh, yes, rent free.
All right, number 23.
He was also a Heisman finalist also, so Jim Swink.
It's going to shock you.
Okay.
Jamie Dixon.
Oh, yeah.
He's a player, coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely deserve. I mean, that shot was legendary.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely deserves some honorable mention. Yeah, I really, I slacked on the coaches. You're getting
the coaches. But Dixon, again, because Dixon doesn't normally wear a jersey.
Yes.
He just did back in the day and happened to be number 23.
Yes.
I think it's down to him and Swink. I get it's probably Swink, but Dixon, what he's done as a coach is probably, like, the shot is one of the biggest shots in TCU basketball history.
Yeah.
But, like, what he's done the last 5 years as a TCU basketball coach has also revitalized the program, brought him back to relevancy.
Oh, yeah.
And again, hopefully in 2 years up back into the tournament. So
for sure, for sure. Yeah, he definitely needs to be on the list. I mean, but Jim Swink was on the cover of Life magazine.
No, I get
and
it.
Sports Illustrated.
I get it. But I'm just saying, I'm just throwing random things at you that maybe you didn't think about.
I didn't think about that.
But yeah, thank you, but Dixon, I don't know. If he wins a national title, I'll put him on Time magazine. I'll go on all the magazines.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll put him on Playboy. I don't care which magazine you want to put him on.
He's got to be on some magazine.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Jim Swink, actually, he went on to be a doctor and save lives. Oh. So there's
okay,
that.
Fine. Let's just say I wish Dixon were number 24.
Yeah, 24.
Because I don't know who this guy is.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't have a clue who this person is.
All right, well, let me tell you a little bit about him.
But and first, the other 24s are not, like, revolutionary. They're,
yeah.
They're great, but they're not.
Yeah, it's, you know, we've had, it's 21, 22, 23 are like, man, that's a lot of really solid players, a lot of running backs.
And then for these next couple will also be, oh my God, wow.
Yeah, so honorable mention 24s, Joseph Turner deserves some honorable mention. He was a solid running back for the Frogs back in the late 2000s. Julius Lewis, I think, is easily one of the best 24s. He was a really productive cornerback for us.
He'll get a chance to go compete in a camp this fall.
Yeah. Mike Jones.
Who?
Mike Jones.
Who?
Mike Jones. He was a shooting guard for the Frogs in the late 90s whenever they were originally making tournament appearances.
We didn't plan that, by the way.
Yeah.
But you looked at me like you knew I was going to say
it. Yeah, I knew you were going to say it. But best 24 for me is another basketball player for the Frogs, Daryl Browder. He was another shooting guard. Early 80s for the Frogs. And this guy was hugely productive member of those killer Frogs back in the early 80s. I mean, around the same time that Jamie Dixon was playing. With
Yeah, so how did you know Daryl Browder and not Jamie Dixon?
Well, because I forgot what number Jamie Dixon wore. That's why. So here, I got a little blurb written about Daryl Browder here that I'm going to read. So the team won 6 games prior to his arrival, and he was a Fort Worth product, went to Dunbar, by the way. So hometown guy. Won 6 games prior to his arrival, finished with 23 wins and an NIT quarterfinal appearance by his senior campaign. And for a long time, he was TCU's all-time leading scorer. I think now he's been topped by either Desmond Bain.
Well, Bain, I think, finished at 3, I think. Or he, I don't know, he's 1, 2, or 3 in everything. So
yeah, he had 1886 in his career, which is, you know, very close to 1873, ironically enough. But, you know, really great scorer, really great shooting guard, put up a lot of great stats, but those Jim Killingsworth Horned Frogs were the original basketball team that people got excited about back in
the day. Oh, Browder still has the record.
Oh, all right. Yeah, so he's the all-time leading scorer. Yeah.
Well, Bain was 4-28 behind him in the middle of the season this year. I don't think he got up there.
I want to say that a few years ago, it might have been while I was in college still, he got honored at a basketball game. They didn't retire his jersey, but they had some sort of ceremony honoring him, and he was back and talking about playing in the Southwest Conference and all that good stuff. I want to say one of my buddies in broadcast journalism did a story on him for it.
So I'm trying to find this whole points thing. None of these are – I just want total points. How hard is this? What'd you say Browder's thing was?
1886. And so, he started 114 of 117 career games and scored in double figures in 99 of them.
Browder, Bain had 1,784 points, also started 114 games and played in 141. Interesting. Interesting.
Very interesting.
So yeah, Browder still has the lead. Interesting. I had no idea. I'm like, I don't know who this guy is. And he's still the all-time leading scorer. Interesting. Yeah. I know 25. Like, I know who 25 is.
Yes, yeah. He's more recent. Much more recent. Long list of honorable mentions. Kevontae Turpin deserves some honorable mention, although his career was cut short.
Was ended dishonorably.
Yeah, ended dishonorably, but, I mean,
he was electric those first 2 years.
He was electric. That's the perfect adjective to describe him. Kevin White definitely deserves some mention. He was a very, very good cornerback, obviously, with the Frogs. Eric Buchanan. You might remember the safety for the Frogs in the mid-2000s, really good. Walter Roach, Lyle Blackwood, Ryan Carroll, Johnny Swaim. These are names that don't mean anything to you youngins, but they deserve some mention. They deserve some mention on here, but you got to give 25 to Alex Robinson.
Got to. All time, I think he's the all-time assist. Or was he the all-time assist leader? Then maybe he got passed. I don't know. But he was another legendary TCU career.
Yeah, he's up there in all-time assists. And, you know, he's... Just the story, too, of, like, you know, his mom played for TCU, yep. And then he comes back and becomes, you know, an all-time contributor tournament appearing team.
Give his mom a number 25 honorable mention, too.
That's true.
Yeah.
So I thought that he wore 25 because of her.
Yeah, he wore because of her.
Yeah. So, Mrs. Robinson.
Yeah.
Here's to you, Mrs. Robinson.
Well done. Well done. But no doubt, Alex Robinson is your number 25 for TCU. 26 also, I think, is a given, although some good answers here, too. But
I don't know. I debated with the top two. Just, I mean, ultimately, I'm like, okay, it's got to be him. But the guy who I'm going to say is in second place, I mean, he was an all-timer for the Frogs and had a really solid pro career as well. But, you know, some honorable mentions. Vernon Scott deserves honorable mention at 26. Vernon Scott. Yes. Keaton Jones, the baseball player. Marvin White, the great white hit, you may remember, versus Texas Tech in 2006. Lindsey Cole is another great player. But it came down to Mike Renfro and Derek Kindred for me. Mike Renfro, now this name, again, doesn't mean anything to you people who only started watching TCU games in, you know, 2015. Yeah. But he was a stud receiver on some terrible, terrible TCU teams in the 70s. And I'm talking about, like, you know, like Rager was a stud receiver on, you know, decent but disappointing teams. Like, these were terrible teams.
They won one game the whole, like, decade or something like
that. Well, there was a 3-year stretch where they won two games.
Yeah, they had some rough years there.
My grandpa would talk about watching Mike Renfro. It was like the original Josh Doctson, where he's like, you put that ball anywhere in his vicinity and he was going to catch that ball.
Yeah.
No question about it. And he was a stud for TCU, went on to play for the Houston Oilers, and I think the Cowboys, too, for a lot of years.
I thought he played for the Cowboys for a while.
Yeah, but he's most famous for when he played for the Oilers, he caught a touchdown against the Pittsburgh Steelers in the AFC Championship game that was called out of bounds, but they didn't have instant replay at the time. You go back and watch that game, and my grandpa talks about this too. He's like, he had 2 feet in that end zone, and then he put up his number one finger because he knew he caught that touchdown. And, you know, it was the sort of thing where if he would have caught that touchdown, Oilers would have been up temporarily, or at least in the game, and it could have totally changed the complexion of the game. But since they called it out, and they ended up settling for the field goal or getting a turnover on downs, Steelers just ran away with the game and went on to another Super Bowl like they did so many times in the 70s. But so he's a really good one, is my point in saying all of that. But
Peanut.
It's got to be Peanut. It's got to be DK. Derek Kindred, one of the best free safeties, if not the... I mean, okay, he's the best free safety. I mean, TJ Johnson has an argument,
Don't let KG hear this.
Yeah.
but yes.
I've many years thought about, is it TJ, is it DK, but Derek Kindred is...
He was a monster.
He was a monster.
A total monster. Like, there's no other way to describe the way he played. Like, again, it's sad this happened or whatever, but he won the Rose Bowl, or not the Rose Bowl, the Alamo Bowl for TCU by knocking out their quarterback.
Yes.
But I think he also might have knocked himself out, too. Or did he break his arm on a play? Oh, was attacking
Texas? He played injured all the time.
I think it might have been against Texas. He, like, separated a shoulder or something and playing the whole
year. I feel like his whole senior year he played with
a broken shoulder, broken torn labrum, or something like that.
Legend.
Yeah, absolute legend.
Got to be your best 26. Yeah. All love to Mike Renfro. And I remember, actually, you may remember this, Billy, when we recruited Clint Renfro, Renfro's son, who played at South Lake Carroll, and I was like, oh, man, that's awesome. Like, he's going to be a stud, and he never did it.
No, nope.
But Mike Renfro's still in legendary status. 27. Okay, the list shrunk pretty considerably here. I got one honorable mention, and then I got my guy. So my honorable mention goes to Jason Teague, another Rose Bowl champion, cornerback on that team, long, rangy corner, really athletic. Was a solid contributor, but I think ultimately you got to give it to Tony Jeffrey. And again, let me tell you why.
Who's Tony Jeffrey?
So Tony Jeffrey was a running back for the Frogs in the mid-80s. He started out as Kenneth Davis's backup, but ultimately took over the job when you know, Kenneth Davis had an untimely departure. Him and a lot of other frogs admitted to receiving money from boosters. Jim Wacker was very keen on trying to clean this up because this was a known issue in the 70s with F.A. Dry, which was, pay everybody. Yeah. And we're still terrible, but just keep paying everybody. So, but Kenneth Davis got, it's actually a really sad end to Kenneth Davis's career because he was so amazing for the frogs. He gets injured in the Blue Bonnet Bowl at the end of his junior year, which the frogs go on to lose mostly because of that injury, and then plays one game in 85 before he's suspended for the rest of the season, along with James Manis and a lot of other key contributors on that team. So Tony Jeffrey then becomes the bell cow, and he went on to be a really productive running back for the Frogs in the late 80s. He actually had the record, before LT came along and ran for 406, he had the record for the most rushing yards in a single game for the Frogs against Tulane. It was like 300 and something yards that he went off for. But really good running back. Very deserving of your best 27 of all time, in my opinion.
There you go. Also not a lot of competition there. It's a weird number, I guess.
It is a weird number. You would think that there would be... I mean, it doesn't feel that weird. No. Probably, you know what? In hindsight, David Roach probably could be an honorable mention. Yeah. Free safety. He was an honorable mention 27. He was a free safety mid-2000s around, like 2006 maybe. He might have played with Marvin White, come to think of it. Huh. That just came to me.
No, yeah, I think so. Yeah.
We should put him on the list.
Put him on the list.
Yeah. In fact, I think he lives in my uncle's neighborhood. I think he lives like across the street from my uncle.
Interesting.
So, anyway. And, of course, 28, we mentioned.
Colin Jones.
Colin Jones. Got to be your 28. Moving on to 29.
Yep.
Okay. So, a couple of honorable mentions for you. Stephen Hodge. Man, what a player.
So, Stephen Hodge and I famously played pickup basketball one time. At the rec, and the me being a very large man was told to guard Stephen Hodge.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. But he's a D1 athlete. I was just fat.
Yeah.
And so, first possession, I have the ball. I hit a hook shot over him. I'm not a big hook shot guy. Mm-hmm. I just happened to hit one, and he goes, "That's never happened again." I go, "I know." I literally just said, "I know." He said, "It's not going to happen again." And he worked me. We ended up losing like 15-3 in that game. I think he had 10 of those points. Yeah, he was a monster. But just so funny. Me goes, "I know." And then getting worked. So
he was like one of the most built safeties I think TCU has ever had.
Oh, for sure.
He was just like 100% muscle.
He had a cup of coffee with the Cowboys, right? Or was it just a training camp workout?
He was there for a hot second. It's a shame he couldn't have spent more time there.
Yep.
Another 29 honorable mention, Ronnie Stevenson. This guy was a star forward for the Frogs in basketball in the late 50s. He was a team MVP. He was just a rebounding machine. He had 917 career rebounds, which I think was... he had the record for like 33 years for rebounding. Really solid player in the Southwest Conference early years. Another one, my man, Matthew Tucker, one of my running backs back in my manager days. Good buddy of mine, definitely deserves honorable mention. But I think you got to give 29 to the only TCU player, this is Mark Cohen's stat for you, to play in a pitch in a College World Series and a World Series in the same year. And that's Brandon Finnegan.
It's true. And I actually ran into him, it had to have been December of that year, because it was after the World Series. It was probably November or December at Dutch's. I got a picture with him after that. But
that's awesome.
But it's another really good guy, another really that's a good dude, all around great player. Hope he can catch it on with the he's at the Reds now, so they're on the way up. So hopefully he can make an impact there in the near future.
Fort Worth Southwest High School product. It's my mom's alma mater, actually. Fort Worth Southwest, and I think we had a class together. I wasn't really good friends with them. I never, made an attempt to be. But I think we had like a. It was like a sex ed class or something. It was in the rec center.
Probably
I remember.
Good you weren't friends.
Yeah. But
good is not the correct adjective there. Don't be mad. But probably, whatever. You're comfortable not being friends with them in that class.
Well, it wasn't like... I mean, it was like a human sexuality class.
Oh, okay. You weren't like... Never mind.
Yeah. It wasn't like, hey, get a partner and learn how to put on a condom.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. No. Well, okay. Well, I wasn't going that far. I was going to stop it with a lure before that, but there you go.
Okay.
Reset.
All right, so that brings us to number 30. And I know, Billy, that you want to die on the Garrett Wallow hill here, even though his career's not even over yet. But I think...
Give me the other names, and then we'll duke it out between these top two. You'll win, but I get it.
Okay. So, another one, Lante Hobbs, stud running back for the Bucs. Lante Hobbs. If any of you remember the Lante Hobbs years, he just burst onto the scene as a freshman and had a great, great career for the Frogs as a running back in those Conference USA years. Denzel Johnson. We mentioned that Alamo Bowl earlier. I mean, he had knocked away. It was Denzel Johnson that did that. Don Looney was a huge football player for the Frogs back in the early years, 30s, 40s.
Best linebacker in TCU history, though, Garrett Wallow.
You think?
No.
I was like, because that's a take.
No. Like, I mean, again, I love him like my actual son, and can't wait for him to get drafted by the Saints in the first round next year. But
now, that would be pretty special.
They need a linebacker so bad. I was so mad last night, but we'll get to that in a minute. We have a Twitter question about that. But Wallow is, I mean, he's just incredibly fun to watch. Also really, it's probably also more unbiased because, A, I love talking to the kid and just know him so well personally. Like, he's just a great kid. But he's also been very productive. But your number 30 is the correct answer.
Yeah, it's Frank Windegger. Yeah. And he is the only retired number for the baseball team, his number 30. Because this guy was a player, he was a coach, and he was the athletic director for the Frogs that oversaw a really tenuous period in TCU athletics history. So first as a player, played in the mid-50s. He was on a Southwest Conference championship team, TCU's first ever NCAA tournament baseball team, actually. Frank Windegger was a player on. Went on to coach the Frogs from 62 to 75 when he was the youngest coach, actually, to win a Southwest Conference title in any sport in 1963. Led him to a 12-4 season, a lot fewer games.
Yeah, for real.
Back then.
They're talking football for a second.
Yeah, he won four league titles altogether with the Southwest Conference, amassed 298 victories. And he's got one of the best winning percentages as a coach in the NCAA at 641. And then as an athletic director, he was the athletic director from 76 to 97. So he oversaw the Frogs, not exit really, just ostracization from the Big 12, helped guide us into the WAC and then into the next step. So I want to say that it was Windegger who helped make sure that Coach Patterson got... No, it was not Coach Patterson, 97, so it was Francione. He was one of the ones who selected Francione as the next coach.
Yeah, no, he's instrumental figure in TCU history.
Yes,
no,
very much so.
I love Wallow, but that's the correct answer for number 30.
Very much so. And we'll have 31 through 40 next week.
A
lot more names.
Spoiler alert, 34 is already decided.
Oh, yes. If you're a fan of the Purple Menace podcast...
you know who 34 is.
Yeah.
And if you think it's anyone else, I will fight you.
Yeah, I wouldn't let Billy have Garrett Wallow at 30, but we're going to let him have...
He'll let me have Kenny Hustle at 34. You better. All right, Twitter question. Sal Martinez at Sal_MTZ. How bummed were you guys when Casey didn't take Ross to the last pick of the first round? We should have had three first rounders. I was bummed. Because I don't think they need any more offense.
I was pretty bummed too. I was really hoping to match that record. And I was looking at, by Kansas City, I was like, I feel like it's not going to happen. But I was really looking at like the Seahawks and who else was in there in those last few picks.
Cause Tennessee.
Tennessee was another one. I was like, oh, maybe Tennessee. Minnesota
with Gladney, so.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, maybe. But yeah, I was.
I don't know. I still think Ross is going to be the best of all these pros. Like, I really do. Somebody's going to be very pleased.
Or at least the longest tenured.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Which hopefully means the best. Hopefully they're all Hall of Famers.
Oh, yes.
But maybe Blacklock plays 15 years and they both play 14 years.
Yeah.
Or something
I'm down with that.
And Shea will play 17 years just because.
He's like a matchup. 17-year running back.
Frank Gore's doing it.
Yeah, that's true.
Might be at 20. I don't know how long Frank Gore's been doing this.
That is true. Man.
All right, last set of questions from Bayou City Frog. Would you rather... a full season of college football with the playoffs and everything with no fans. A shortened season, 6 to 8 games with fans that takes place in the spring. Full cancellation that picks up with spring ball next year, but maybe make it longer, add some exhibition scrimmages with fans, and you get to preserve a full year of eligibility for everybody.
I'd rather have a full season with no fans. Hands down.
Would you?
Yeah, hands down. Because I lived in California for 3 years before this. Didn't get to go to but maybe one TCU game a year. Like, I can handle watching on TV. I can handle that. I can have some friends over. We can have a couple drinks, watch the game. That's fine with me. I cannot not have football. I cannot stress this enough. I cannot not have football.
But to be fair, I think media is included in this, we can probably get you credentialed to these games.
That's true.
So
it's a win-win.
I think media is allowed to go to these things. So, well, I was very excited to go to the baseball games without fans. Just like two, you know, like me, Jeremy, and Drew just hanging out in the parking lot with beers or whatever, watching the games.
Sounds like fun. A party.
Yeah,
sex for everybody else.
Honestly, shout out Drew, by the way, since he came up in conversation in our group text with me, Jeremy, and Drew about the draft picks, and Drew almost nailed the regular one. He had him going. What 20? Because he went 21. He had him going 22 to the Vikings. So he went 21 to the Eagles. So he was closest to the hole with that one.
Wow.
Yes. So shout out Drew for nailing that one.
Impressive.
Yeah.
Most impressive.
Bayou City. How do we fail Gen Z that they keep picking our version of the Texas Tech Oklahoma State helmet, the blackout lid? Can we redo this with some superdelegates? Obviously, I would be one of them. Kidding. In all seriousness, this will be real fun. This has been real fun.
It has been a fun bracket, even more fun than I even anticipated.
Yeah, I'm gonna be mad if that beats the Rose Bowl, though.
Dude, I'm honestly quite. I mean, because I like the black helmet, but I'm speechless at how it continues to outvote these uniforms that I feel like are objectively better. Like, you know, field results on the side. Like, I love the all white Stormtrooper from 2014. Like. That helmet is gorgeous.
Yeah, it's a nice helmet.
You know, with the purple and black stripe.
I think it officially lost. So the poll ended like an hour ago.
Man, it's just, I mean, I'm just like, okay. Like, what do you do with those whippersnappers, huh? I mean.
You want to guess how many people watched the draft last night?
Oh, it's got to be 4 million or something?
Oh, way higher.
How many?
15.6 million.
Wow. people are aching people for sports, need man.
Some kind of sports.
Yes.
But yes, let's see. The poll did end. Which was this one? No, the white chrome helmet, the 2015 Oklahoma State one big.
Our Florida Gulf Coast. You know, and I did remember, we wore that other times than just 2015 Oklahoma State.
Probably.
We wore it against Oklahoma in 17, and we wore it against West Virginia in, let's see, that was 16.
The blackout helmets won both their matchups this time.
Man.
And won them both. So we're going to give the weekend off from this poll, by the way, going into next week. Let the draft sort out. We're in the Sweet 16 now. So we're down to 16. So we'll go Monday, Wednesday for voting again next week.
Yeah.
But it's fun to keep it on. We appreciate the several hundred that have voted in this.
Yeah, it's been really cool.
Yeah. Lex from Bayou City. I know it's easy to get upset that we have this much talent in the draft and had a bad record, but isn't it just a byproduct of timing and a little bad luck at quarterback? Yeah, I think they, because they had this much talent. Like, we knew coming into this year, they were loaded everywhere but at quarterback. Mm-hmm. That's why, like, I thought if they got Jalen Hurts, they would have been in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And, I mean, it's excruciatingly frustrating, especially when you do think about, I mean, Colin mentioned it, 6 of those 7 losses were by one score.
Yep.
And me and one of my friends were looking through the other day. We were like, let's look back at that schedule. And we were like, okay, we should have won this one. We should have won this one. We could have won this one. And when you just counted up the shouldas, where it's like, okay, if we, you know, don't throw with Shewo out of Wildcat, or, you know, if a bounce goes our way on this play or that play, like, we easily could have been a 9-1 team.
If Chuba doesn't get a 92-yard touchdown or whatever against Oklahoma State,
we put Oklahoma State as a coulda because, you know, we had a lot of interceptions. But there were a couple plays that, like,
neither team wanted to win that game.
Yes, exactly.
that was a very much nobody wanted to win that football
game. The shouldas were like SMU, Kansas State.
SMU for sure.
Yeah, we should have beaten them. We should have won that Kansas State game if we don't put in Delton and absolutely kill the momentum in the middle of that game. And then also if we're able to hold on that last drive. I'm trying to remember the other shouldas. There was two others without looking at it. West Virginia. Should have beaten West Virginia.
West Virginia just wasn't good. You're playing for a bowl game.
And then we should have beaten...
They beat Tech.
Yeah, beat Tech.
They beat Kansas.
Oklahoma State was a coulda.
Oklahoma probably a coulda.
That was a coulda,
but
yeah.
Definitely not should have.
And so Baylor. Bad. Baylor was the other show.
Oh, Baylor. Baylor's a show for sure.
Yeah. So that was 4.
If Max is in, they win that game.
Well, or if Pro Wells catches that pass, or if they don't call that phantom hold on Ardarius Washington.
Well, that wasn't a hold. That was an illegal shift. They called
it
illegal
shift.
It wasn't even a penalty on us. It was a penalty on them that they negated their pick.
Yes.
It's so stupid.
Yeah. So, again, 4 games that it's not even, we could have won that. We should have won. So you're talking about a 9-win season. It's a completely different... It's a paradigm shifting, you know, result.
Yeah.
And suddenly we're like, hey, we were still rebuilding, but we won 9 games and we had 2 first round draft picks. I mean, hey, that's awesome. You know, we're all feeling really great.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think I mean, easily could have won three of those games.
Yeah,
two of those games for sure. No reason why you couldn't have gone 7-5 last year, at the absolute worst.
I mean, no reason you couldn't have gone 9.
But next year the bar is back up to 9 or whatever. 9-3. All right, last question from Bayou City. What do you think was the best and worst pick last night besides the Saints? Because I was very upset about the Saints pick.
Yeah, that wasn't a great pick.
Because I know. Okay, I've rationalized a little bit better now, but legit Wednesday night, I had a dream that the Saints took a lineman from Michigan. I didn't have Cesar Ruiz's name in my dream. I go, and I looked at that, and I was like, there's not one there, right? There's no one. There's not a linebacker from Michigan, or a lineman from Michigan they'll take, right? I looked at it, and I was like, okay, there's the center, but that's like, they won't take him in the first round.
Yeah.
And then, oh my God, I can't believe they did.
Bill Stradamus.
But like, they didn't need help at center or the middle of the line. You had a pro bowler at right guard. You drafted the center in the second round last year, he played every game, and you just re-signed your left guard to a bunch of money. There's no need that. But apparently the right guard, they're probably going to try and trade in the offseason, so this replaces that. If they can trade him for a competent linebacker, I'll be okay.
Well, but I feel like, to me, it's got to be the Giants. I mean, because when you're picking fourth overall, if that dude's your guy, great. But trade back. Like, get some value here. Like, that is just... I'm fine with it as a Cowboys fan. Like, well, Giants can keep sucking, but I was just very poor management of the draft.
And the Falcons taking, what, the eighth best corner at 18 or whatever they took, or 16.
That was another head scratcher.
Yeah, that was a little early when they could have had Jeff Gladney, but they went that way. Which, again, I'm fine with the Falcons messing up. But the Saints fan, the best pick of the night.
Best pick.
I know you're iffy on CeeDee Lamb. I think the fact
he's there was amazing. I feel bad saying him. Like, he's there. The Cowboys had to take him. You have to.
Yeah.
When a person who's that higher in your draft board, who literally they didn't even interview him because they were like, oh, there's no way. There's no way he falls to us. You have to take him. And now the offense is set up to be insane. It's going to be a really, really good offense. But it's just what makes me cautious is like, oh, the needs on defense are so great. And hopefully, you know, we can address those in the second and third round and fourth round and get a guy here or there out of free agency. But, you know, just after just the first round, it's hard not to be like, yeah, I'm really, really nervous about that. Best pick, though, I mean...
The fact that Isaiah Simmons fell to the Cardinals
at
8 or 9. That's who the Giants. That's what I thought the Giants were going
to
take.
Like, yeah, that, I like, literally. He's a monster. Yes, come to think of it, because I was literally typing up a text to my friends right before the Cardinals picked, like, how is Isaiah Simmons still on the board?
Yeah.
And then the Cardinals were like, oh, how is he still on the board? We're taking
Cliff Kingsbury's like, I wanted to get a receiver, but.
Yeah, but.
But even I can't.
Instead, I want the guy who plays defense. Like, he's insane. Mm-hmm. And when they really broke down, oh, he's played this many snaps at slot corner, this many snaps at linebacker, free safety, defensive end. Like, kid can do everything, and he does it well. But yeah, that's a steal.
Mm-hmm. I'm reading a tweet from Lysol about how you shouldn't ingest it. Guess we won't get into that. But
oh, man.
This is Jeff Gladney's song.
Yes. Valhalla, he's coming.
Yes. So it's a Viking. This is the closest I can think of to like a Viking type theme song.
I suggested VeggieTales, but
this is a better song.
Okay.
Now the issue is Led Zeppelin's very picky about who can use their songs, so we'll see if this gets taken down. Maybe no one hears this podcast after all.
Maybe
if Led Zeppelin's
all that work.
One of the few hundred people that listens to this podcast,
Jimmy A, Page.
You know, good
Jimmy Page is like, oi, that TCM podcast is playing my song.
You know what good publicity that would be?
That'd be insane.
We get sued.
Yeah.
Like, did you hear about Dan Patrick getting sued by Tom Brady?
No.
So Dan Patrick, the radio show host from ESPN, from back in the day, he released, before the day that Tom Brady said he's going to Tampa Bay, they released Tampa Bay t-shirts because Tampa Bay is stupid.
Yeah.
And so they got a cease and desist letter from Tom Brady's lawyers to quit selling those, like this week after we've been doing it for a couple weeks. Boo, have fun. All right, guys, thanks for listening again this week. Clint, you want to promote something?
Follow me on Twitter, @Clint_Foster55.
@BillyWessels @TCU_Rivals. Talk to y'all next week. Enjoy the rest of the draft.